Joined us today for this November the 1st, 2015 radio program. We are a call-in question and answer program where you can call in your question and we will go into the Bible for the answer. Thus, the program is called Let the Bible Speak. We want to say thank you for joining us, and we hope and pray that you have paper and pencil ready to write down the answers to the questions that you call in right now. And we are glad to be able to be of service to you as we direct you to the Bible answer. And so please get your Bible ready, get paper and pencil ready, and be ready to write these questions down. And so now is your chance to call in. The line is available, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. We were just notified that the website live stream function is not working right now, and so we want to apologize to you that tune in through the internet. We will address that hopefully before the end of the program and get it working. And so if you're able to listen to the broadcast either through your radio in the Charleston area or through the, what's our app called?
Tune in radio.
That's right. Tune in radio. And we will be glad to be able to help you find the answers to the questions that are on your mind. So the number to call right now for your question is 308-9564. That is the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Either way, go ahead with your questions. We will get into the Bible for the answer. What's unique about this broadcast is that you set the topic, you set the theme, but God is the one that gives the answers as we go to His Word for all the answers. We'll give you book, chapter, and verse answers. So get ready, open up your Bible, open up your heart, and let's let God make us and shape us into the image that He wants us to be as we go to the Bible for those answers. One more time. The voice line is available. Both lines are available. Operator standing by. Only thing is waiting is for you to call in your questions. The voice line is 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak. Chuck, you have the first question there?
Yeah, we got a text question in. First of all, I want to appreciate everyone who's listened to the broadcast, and we encourage you to call in your questions and to text in your questions. That is the only reason for this radio broadcast, is to help you get your questions about God answered. And we're not going to answer it through our own accord or through our own thoughts or knowledge. We are going to answer them through the Word of God. And that is where we're going to go, as long as the question allows us to do that. And this first question, who's we're getting a text from the texter there, last three digits is 113. Thank you so much for listening to the broadcast. We appreciate you sending in your question. They texted in this question asking, who is Theophilus? And they give a citation for Luke chapter 1 and verse 3. And Theophilus is also mentioned in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. As far as the Word of God is, the only thing that we can tell you is that Theophilus is who Luke wrote the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and the Acts of the Apostles. Luke is the author of both of those books. He is actually, Luke being the only non-Jew, he's the only Greek person of Greek descent to write a book in the New Testament. And he wrote two of them, which was the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And he did both of those, addressing them to Theophilus. We see that in Luke chapter 1, verse 3 and Acts chapter 1, verse 1. And as far as the Word of God goes, I'm not too sure we can go to another verse that shows you who Theophilus was.
No, a lot of times people will use conjecture to Theo means God, Theophilus, the idea of a group, and so some people say, well, it was a generic name for those who are belonging to God. But again, all of that is just guesswork. There's no definitive way for us to know.
Yeah. I've seen it as some people been talking about this or that. There's just no way to know. We don't know if that was a Roman emperor. That was one of the most popular things I heard, is that he was one of the Roman emperors, because he addresses him in Luke 3. He 1:3, he specifically says, "Most excellent Theophilus." And so that's he's kind of to call someone the most excellent, that would kind of give the connotation that they are possibly of some kind of political or governmental power. But that's just speculation. Once again, there is no book, chapter, verse that we can go to let you know who Theophilus was. We only know that both books that Luke authored, that the Holy Spirit authored through Luke, both books were addressed to this person, Theophilus. We don't know who he was, but we do know Luke wrote two books, and both of them were addressed to him. So we will stay within the boundaries of the scriptures. And so if there's not a book, chapter, verse answer for your question, we're not going to transgress or go beyond anything if we can't give you God's word to show you where the answer is. So we will leave it at that. Thank you so much for your question. We appreciate it. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. 308-9564. We will do the best we can to let the Bible speak.
Now, if you'd rather text us, you can text us through your cell phone at 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line, and it comes directly to us from your cell phone to us here in the studio. And here is a follow-up question. How can we grow better in our relationship with Christ? Well, now that is a really good question. We do. The Bible has a lot to say about that. How can we grow better in our relationship to Christ? Well, it all begins with the way that we approach God's Word. In John 7:17, Jesus says, "If any man wills to do his will, he shall know whether I speak of myself or another man." And so we can see there that our approach to studying God's Word is crucial. If we are wanting and willing to do what He says, then that is very important to be able to know whether this is the Word of God or not. And so we can and should be able to find what we should be doing according to what His Word says. In Ephesians chapter 6, it describes our walk with the Lord as one that is putting on the whole armor of God, and every aspect of that armor has a connection with and developed by the Word of God. And so, again, we've got to be in the Word. So we must let God speak to us through His Word and understand that is authoritative. We've got to not argue with it, nor manipulate it, or change it in any way. For if we do, Galatians chapter 1 says that we will be anathema. We will be a super curse, so to speak. And it is the word anathema is the word when it says, "Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed," or anathema. So Paul didn't have the right to change this word. An angel from heaven didn't have the right to change this word. And nor should we. And if any of us do, then we are going to receive that kind of curse that God tells us about there. It was so important, he repeated it in the next verse. Again, that's Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. So that is the beginning of our walk with the Lord. Then we must continue to let him change us, make us, and mold us as we will let him cause us to be conformed unto the image of his Son. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, that is why we were called to begin with and why we have actually had a relationship begin is because that's what he's wanting for us to become. That is Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. So says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. So there's where we're going. We see where we start. There's where we're going. Well, there's a whole lifetime between those two points. We've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We must pray without ceasing. We must continue to repent of sins, turn away from sin. Now, that's something that's not commonly taught on today, but our hearts must be broken. We must have a godly sorrow, and that should lead us to repent. So there's where where it all begins, and there's where it ends, and there's a whole lot in the middle. That's the meat that's in the middle. So let's continue in his word and let him change us. We are out of time for our first segment. We want you to know that we are happy that you've tuned in today, and we want you to continue with us. We've got another hour and 15 minutes to answer your questions live over the air. The number to call in your question is 308-9564. That's the voice line. So don't hesitate about calling in your question right now at 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are glad that you've joined us today, and we hope and pray that the program will be a blessing to you. The voice line, if you want to continue with your questions, calling them in, you can do so at 308-9564. The Bible Correspondence Course that we just mentioned to you through that break is very, very important that you study this, because it will reveal to you some things in God's Word that you may have never seen before. And by the way, it is absolutely free. Everything we offer is free, so please just put away your checkbook. Do not send us your tithes. Do not send us your offerings. Let us send you the treasure that you can dig right out of your own Bible and be eternally blessed with. The good thing about this is you can study it anytime you want to. You can, if you get something out of this program, and many of y'all say you do, well, you'll get 10 times more blessing from studying of God's Word yourself. And in this course, the first course especially, you will start discovering, well, I have never seen those things before. And many of those topics that you may study through the various courses that we offer, those things, if you don't know about them, they could keep you from going to heaven. Yeah. And so it's very important that we know what God expects, so we will be able to do what God expects, and then he will one day say, well done, good and faithful servant. Why not get that course on the way to you? You have nothing to lose. Go ahead and call for it right now at 553-5157. It's set up right now so you can call and just quickly leave your name and address, and we will be glad to send it to you. So go ahead and call and give us your name, address, and phone number, and we're happy to send the material to you free of charge, and you will continue on your journey to heaven. We hope and pray that you will take advantage of this. We have nothing to gain. We have everything to share with you, and that is the riches that God wants us all to have. One more time, that number to get the course in the mail to you is 553-5157. So go ahead and call that right now, and it'll be in the mail this week. Now, if you want to have your question answered on today's broadcast, the number is 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck?
Yeah, we have a question from John. John, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast, and we appreciate you calling in your question. John's question says, what is the church that Christ built? And oh, John, that is a beautiful question. We love questions like this. Well, we'll just go to God's word for the answers. Here are a couple of verses that can help you understand this. You know, there are a lot of different groups or organizations that have the name church. And so we can be kind of confused or fooled or deceived about what is the true church. Is there just one right church, or is every church okay, and it doesn't matter what you teach, and it doesn't matter what you practice, or doesn't matter, and God expects us to serve him a certain way and to be a part of a church that does what he says? Well, we can have the answer to that. Ephesians chapter 4 is one place where we can find that answer here. In Ephesians chapter 4, it's talking about unity, the concept of being one and being together. And in chapter 4, verse 4, he says, there is one body and one spirit. So that body is one, there's one body of believers, there is one church. The church is the body. So that's Ephesians 4 and verse 4. If you look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Christ was responding to Peter when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God." And Christ there agrees with Peter. And in verse 18, he says, "I say that you are Peter, but on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And the rock that Christ is speaking of in verse 18 is not a physical rock. As some of you may know, the name Peter is actually translated as a stone. So Christ, in answering Peter, he's actually making a play on Peter's name. So he says that, "I say you are Peter," which is a stone, "but on this rock," the rock is the statement that he made. So he calls Peter a stone or a pebble. That's what his name meant, Cephas or Peter. It meant a stone or a pebble. So he said that you are Peter. So you're this little stone. "But on this rock," the statement that you made, that "I am the Christ, the Son of the Living God," "on this rock," this boulder, this huge rock, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So he built his church on a solid foundation. That foundation? Christ built his church on a foundation that he is the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And when we go to Acts 2, we see the revelation or the manifestation of that very statement of Christ building his church on the foundation that he is the Christ, the Son of the Living God. You know how we know that? Because in Acts chapter 2, that is the very reason why people repented of their sins. Because they found out that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the Living God. When we look at Acts chapter 2, verse Peter was preaching, he comes to the end of his sermon there in verse 36. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly," so know for sure, without a doubt, know assuredly, "that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified," God has made him both Lord and Christ. Lord meaning master, and Christ meaning Messiah, our anointed one. So, wow, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the Living God. That is the foundation that Christ said he would build his church. And Peter tells them that. What's the people's response there? Verse 37, when the crowd heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they asked Peter and the other apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter answered them and said, "Let every one of you repent, turn away from your old sins, have a change of heart, change of mind, change of action, repent and be baptized," baptized in the name of Jesus, "for the remission of your sins," for the washing away, for the removal of your sins. "And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then he goes on and says in verse 40, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Be saved from this corrupt or wicked generation. And then verse 41, "And that day about 3,000 souls." Now when they heard that day about 3,000 souls, when they heard this, they were baptized, 3,000 souls. And then when you go all the way down to verse 47 at the end of the chapter, still in Acts chapter 2, it says that they were praising God and they every day, the Lord was adding to the church those who were being saved. That's the end of Acts chapter 2, verse 47. So God adds to the church those who are being saved. So once again, we see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there is one church, one body, there's one church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Christ reminds us that he will build the church. And then in Acts chapter 2, we see the revelation or the manifestation of that promise, of that prophecy Christ made about building his church on the foundation that he is the Christ, the Son of the Living God. Acts chapter 2, verse 36 through 47. Thank you so much, John. We appreciate that. Thank you. We appreciate you calling your question. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, or you have the text line available at 725-9283.
We have Chuck, that called in. I figured I better take this, being that your name is Chuck. Someone named Chuck calling in this question. When are all the churches going to get together so they can cooperate and be able to do things that would be in a manner that would be most effective? Well, Chuck, that's a really good question, and the answer to that is, again, this is called Let the Bible Speak, so let's just let the Bible speak. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, God says, as he's writing this, God is saying through Paul, he says that now the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, shall have their conscience seared as with a hot iron. So he says, hey, there's going to be problems coming, and understand that we're not supposed to be teaching different things. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5 says that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. God's intent was for there to be only one faith, one system of belief. That system of belief is his word. Galatians chapter 1, it makes it very clear that Paul himself didn't have the right to come up with something different. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other than what we preached, let them be accursed. He says it not only in verse 8, he says it in verse 9, so he repeats himself to make emphasis. Well, then what is it that God had planned for us? Well, we've got to follow his word, established by only his word, and when we measure with the same set of rules, his word, then we will be speaking the same thing, not just a little here and a little there, but exclusively letting the Bible speak. Matter of fact, when he wrote the Corinthians, they had already deviated, at least to some extent, from following exclusively the apostles' doctrine, the Word of God. And he says, I beg you, I beseech you, I plead with you, depending on your translation. That's 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. He says that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. He goes on and lets them know they're not doing that by elevating man, lifting man up. In chapter 2, he says, I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to only hear God through this word, that your faith should be in the power of God and not in the wisdom of man. We better let him, God, Christ, be the ruler, and we will only then be able to be moving in the right direction. Thank you, Chuck, so much for your question. We sure do appreciate that. Again, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That line is available. Let's see, it's the top of the hour, so let's go ahead and go to our next break. While we are at break, continue calling in your questions, 308-9564. But if you've never received the Bible Correspondence Course, then now's the time to do it. Go ahead and call 553-5157. Begin your study through the mail where you fill out the lesson. They're very easy at first, and then they continue to get harder. And you will fill it out, send it back. We will grade it, send the next lesson back to you, and on and back and forth. And you will continue to study God's Word and get deeper and richer in his most holy word. By the way, today, most churches are restricted from telling you the whole truth and nothing but the truth because they must remain within the denominational parameters which defines them. Why not get out of that box that the evil one has put us in, and let's find out the whole truth? They demand it in court. Why don't we demand it in church? Why don't we demand it in our most important quest of all? That is what's going to happen when we leave this earth behind. Isn't it important to find those answers? Go ahead and call and get this course to you, 553-5157. But now if you have a question, you can call us with your voice at 308-9564, or you can text us. The choice is yours. The questions are yours. God gives the answer, and now's your chance to have those answers found. Don't miss out on getting this in the mail to you. We are just glad to be able to share it with you. 553-5157 to enroll in the course. Again, you're not going to be graded. You should not feel intimidated in any way. It's just a matter of digging out the treasure, the riches that have always been there, right there in your own Bible. After all, you may discover truths that you've never seen before. Many people that we have gone and met in person, they end up saying that. They say, I've never seen that before, and they've been studying the Bible for decades. So let's find the whole truth so that we might be able to have no surprises on the day when we all meet God face to face. And he will be able to say to you, when we not only know the truth, but that we obey it, he'll be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's our desire for everyone listening to today. So please get it in the mail to you. Study it for yourself, 553-5157. Now, if you have a question you want to ask us to answer on the radio today, that is, we'll give you book, chapter, and verse, go ahead and call 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck?
We have Clayton calling in this question. Clayton asks about, when Paul wrote the book of Romans, was he in prison or on house arrest? Well, we have a couple of verses in Romans that might give us some hints as to the fact that he wasn't imprisoned at all at the time he wrote Romans. And we can tell that if we look at Romans chapter 1 in verse 11, he mentions that he longs to see them, that he may impart some spiritual gift. So from that verse, we know that he had not been to Rome yet. And also when we go further down and we look at verse 15, he says, this is why I'm eager to proclaim the gospel to you who live in Rome also. So from chapter 1, verses 11 and 15, we see that he had not been to Rome yet. And then to show that he probably was not imprisoned at the time that he wrote the letter, because when you go to the 15th chapter of Romans, you look at verse 25, he tells you about his plan. He says, right now, however, I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. He probably was not in prison or on house arrest or being accompanied by any guards. He seemed to have some freedom there in Romans chapter 15, verse 25, because he said he is on his way to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. He didn't say he was on his way to Jerusalem because he is bound hand and foot or because he's, you know, appealing to Caesar. You know, I mean, we know that in Acts later on. But, when we look at the book of Acts as a history book, we can't, it's hard for us to tell specific times. Times are given as far as we know. He spent a certain amount of time, certain months in certain places, certain weeks in certain places, and up to a year and a half in another place. But as far as where Romans go, just from looking at these couple of verses, it seems like he was not in prison nor on house arrest at the time of his writing of the letter to the Romans. And once again, that was Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and verse 15 that show he hadn't been to Rome yet. And then Romans chapter 15, verse 25, that shows that he is on his way to Jerusalem while he was writing this letter. He was on his way to Jerusalem to minister to the saints there in Jerusalem. And so that would kind of give you the connotation that he has some sort of freedom to be able to do that. Hopefully that's helpful to you, Clayton. Thank you so much for calling in that question. 308-9564. 308-9564 to let the Bible speak.
We have an important announcement for all of y'all that are longtime listeners and those of y'all that are new to listen. We now have another way that you can communicate with us. In addition to sending your questions via the text message or calling in through the voice, you now can send your questions through Facebook page. Just go to your Facebook page and then up at the search option at the top of the page, search for Low Country Church. Low Country, one word, church. And then when you find it, then you can like our page and you'll be able to ask questions pertaining to life and godliness by sending us a message through the page. So don't miss out on that option of communicating with us, and you'll be able to join us that way. So if some of y'all have been trying to get through via the live stream from our website, and it's down right now, then you can also go to your Facebook page, search for Low Country Church, and then be able to get to ask us a question through that means as well. While you're there, be sure to like our page, and then you will be able to ask any kind of questions, and they will be sent to us here at the studio. So go to your Facebook page, those of y'all that are on Facebook, and you can also ask us questions by finding Low Country Church, and you can also join us that way as well. So there's no reason why you cannot join us right now asking your questions, and we will be glad to let the Bible speak concerning your questions that you have. The next question that has come in again, is from the phone number of 113. They want to know, what does it mean to follow Christ? Well, that's what disciple is. A disciple is a follower of. And so to follow Christ means to follow his instructions. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. In Luke, he says, why call me Lord and do not do the things that I say? So when we look into his word, which is called what we have termed the New Testament, then you can look and see all the instructions that are given therein. And when we follow those things, that's what it means to follow Christ, to follow his instructions. The word covenant means an agreement. And when we decide that we're going to follow Christ, we are entering into an agreement with him so that he is the one that is calling the shots. He's the one that is in charge, and he's the one that is showing us how to live in every area of our life. He instructs us how to think, how to speak, how to work, how to raise our children, how to be a good spouse, how to every part of our life. He gives us clear, finite instructions on every part of it. He talks about our character and gives us information about how to overcome our anger issues, or if we're embittered because of life's tragedies. Well, he shows us how that we can be delivered from such as that. And on it goes, and that's how we follow Christ. That's the way that we become one of his children. So please do not miss out and finding out more about that by getting the course in the mail to you, and it will give you even more information along that line. If you would like to enroll in the course, just simply call 553-5157, and that will begin your journey on many, many areas of studying in God's Word to find out what it is that God really does expect of us. And when we follow what God says in his Word, his covenant, the New Testament, then we are a follower of Christ. Thank you so much for your questions. Again, there's a lot more to it than that, but that's why we study God's Word. So go ahead and get that course to you, 553-5157. If you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck?
Yes, we have Julian calling in this question. Julian, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast, and we appreciate you calling in your question. Julian's question says, is the gift of prophecy still being practiced today? Well, the answer is it's being practiced today in certain ways, various different ways. But is God pleased with that? And is it in God's will? I think that's kind of what Julian's question is. So first, let's have an understanding that in the Old Testament and also throughout the New Testament a little bit also, when we see prophecy, it was because God was using those people to show his word that he is the supreme God. And so prophecy, it was so people could understand that it's God's will that's going to be done. And that's not nothing special about the individual by which the prophecy was coming through, nor whether the individual that it was going to. And so as far as it's still being practiced today, if it's in God's will or not, we see a prophecy in Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah is the second to the last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 1 through 4 is what the whole context is. But if you look at specifically verse 2, he's talking about verse 1. He says, in that time, talking about a fountain being opened for the house of David. That would have been his people at the time and the children of Israel. Then verse 2, he says that the prophets and the unclean spirits will depart from the land. He says that in verse 2. And then in verse 3, he talks about what will happen to someone who's prophesying. He says that they're speaking lies, and their father and their mother, he says, should stab them. So, you know, that was that's not a favorable outcome. That's not something that someone would want to happen. You know, there was going to be a time where prophecy was appropriate. But there would also be a time after that where God would be done with using prophecies. And we are in that time today. We see that prophesied said there in Zechariah chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. And then also, if you doubt that, look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it becomes fairly clear that prophecies in terms of how God used them to show and reveal his will, those type of prophecies are going to be done away with because God's word is here. We have God's word and God's word is complete. So prophecy was a part of a partial revealing or a partial revelation of God's will. That's what prophecy was. It was a partial revelation or partial revealing of God's will. Well, we have God's word. God's word is the full revelation or the complete revelation of God's will and God. So if we have the complete revelation of God's will, why would we still need partial revelations of God's will? So we should only be speaking what God's word speaks. And if someone is, quote unquote, prophesying or speaking something different than what God's word says, well, if it's new, it ain't true, because God promises us that he is his word endures and abides forever. And so we have it complete. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So that's a past tense, has given. But I'm jumping all over the place. Getting back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, he says where there are prophecies, after he says, he finishes up and says love never fails, he says that where there are prophecies, they will be done away with. Where there are tongues, they will cease. And where there is knowledge, that will be done away with. For we know, verse 9, for we know in part or partially, and we prophesy in part or partially. And verse 10, but when that which is complete or perfect or mature, when that which is complete comes, then that which is in part will be done away with. So once again, he shows that in that passage really straightforward that the prophecy was a partial revelation of God. It was for a part. But when that which is perfect has come, which is God's word, is perfect, is complete, is mature, then those partial things are done away with. And so hopefully that's been helpful to you. Once again, that was Zechariah chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for calling in that question, Julian. We appreciate it.
We have Linda calling in. She wants to know how that she's a babe in Christ and wants to know how better to understand God's word. Linda, thank you. That is such a wonderful expression of attitude that you have there. Let me encourage you to call the operator standing by at 553-5157. I know it's a recording, but when you get that number, make certain that you say, I want a visit to study God's word in person, and we will be glad to do that. Matter of fact, any of you that would be interested in having a somehow, some way, arranging a personal study of God's word, then you can do that by calling 553-5157, and we will be glad to make those arrangements. We will. If you're, for example, you're on the other side of the world, well, now through various means, we can actually study in person through computer means, through Skype, through many other avenues. So if you're interested in a personal study live yourself, then we will try to make those arrangements. Just ask for that. Ask and you will receive 553-5157. And give us your name, phone number, address, and we will make certain that that happens, including you, Linda. We would be more than happy to assist you and get you all the materials that you can need to be able to grow. Now, those of you that are maybe just wanting to investigate further and get the material to you, you can also call that number, 553-5157, and we'll send a course in the mail to you, which is absolutely free. And we're glad to share the riches that we have received from God, study of God's word with you. And again, we will never ask for any donation. It is absolutely free. So put away your checkbook, put away your pocketbook, put away your money. Let us send you a treasure that will last forever. So go ahead and call 553-5157. We're going to take a break. You can continue to call that number and get that material to you. While we are at break, those of you that already are our students, over 4,000 of you, go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live now. And again, this is a unique program where you set the topic, you set the theme, but God gives the answer. Where else can you go to be able to get only Bible answers? Well, this is the place, and we are happy to be of service. And when you ask the question, we'll go to the Bible for the answer. You do not want to listen to us or any other man. We will not get you anywhere. But when you see it for yourself in God's Word, that will get you places, namely to heaven, that is, if we're willing to do it. And so please go ahead and continue with your questions, 308-9564, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Now, before the break, we mentioned that if you call for the Bible correspondence course, that you also, when you call, you can request a personal study from one of us, either if not right there in your own home or in a restaurant or some other place. We'll be glad to sit down with you with an open Bible and be able to discuss all the answers in person. And so we want to do everything we can to make a difference in this area. So please don't miss out on getting that opportunity. You can call 553-5157 and make those arrangements. Just ask for a personal study or connection, and we will call you back and see about making those arrangements. So now we'll continue with the questions. Again, you can text in your question at 725-9283, or you can call 308-9564, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Steve? Whoever you are, Chuck. Sorry about that.
We have Foster calling in this question. Foster, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast, and we really appreciate you calling in your question. Foster says, what does the Bible mean when it says he suffered under Pontius Pilate? Well, Foster, the Bible does not say that. It does not have that phrase, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. And Foster, I think I know exactly what you're talking about in terms of that phrase. There is a popular repetitious chant or speech that some denominational churches they adhere to, and they actually repeat pretty much every Sunday, as far as I remember and as far as my knowledge goes.
Isn't that a creed?
Yeah. It's called either the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed, but that is that's not in the Bible. That's not something God's Word specifically says. There are some things in there that are, you know, for the most part accurate in terms of what they teach. But the danger in that type of thing is kind of exactly what's going on right here, Foster. And I'm not trying to pick on you or anything, but, you know, that's something you've heard over and over again. And you assume that it's actually in God's Word when it's actually not. And if that type of thing that may not necessarily be harmful is in there, to where it's in your memory and it's in your knowledge of something that may be in the Bible, imagine how many things that aren't actually in the Bible that you think are. And that is the reason for this broadcast of Letting the Bible Speak, so we can let you know what is actually in God's Word and what's not in God's Word, and allow you to decide, does that matter? If you were listening to the broadcast earlier, just give it a little bit of thought and think about how, you know, Christ died for his people. He died for the world, but he died so that we could become his people. And we could be a part of his church. And there are a lot of different churches practicing different things and teaching different things. But there is only one true church. There's only one church that we read about in the book of Acts. One church that was started. And so we need to be careful to make sure that we're not falling into the commandments of men or the traditions of men that Christ talked about in chapter 15 of Matthew, that he warned the Pharisees there about. So it's really a lot of things going around as far as teachings today, but we must make sure that we are only listening to what God's Word says and being able to know if something's not in the Bible and we think it is, then we need to be able to decide, well, what's more important? Should I give interest and give attention to learning what's actually in the Bible so that you're not serving God by rote or just by out of habit? And that's what, you know, these type of creeds and things can do. You just serve God out of rote or by habit, and it's not actually connected to your heart. That comes through learning his word and by studying it and applying his word, actually living it. That's where the growth comes from to really have a relationship with God, learning his word and applying his word. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, Foster. If you got any other questions about that, I highly, highly encourage you to call the operator standing by at 553-5157 and to give your information there and let us know that we would love to be able to sit down with you and show you more of how what God's word says you can become a better follower of his. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, 308-9564, or you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
Everybody get your pencils ready for this next question. You'll want to write down these verses and be able to study these things for yourself. So get your paper and pencil ready. The question is, what is new birth requirements and the meaning? What does a person have to do to be saved? Is this method Acts 2 and verse 38? Well, the new birth is coined or phrase began in John chapter 3 and verse 5, where Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." And so there he connects both of those processes, the idea of the Holy Spirit and water together. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, again, John 3, 5, Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." So their belief is added to baptism or that new birth. Yes, Acts 2, verse 38, after the people were told to know that Jesus is Lord in Christ, or believe, they were cut to the heart and said, "What must we do?" They were told in Acts 2, verse 38, to repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there again, repentance is added to the equation as well. Now, later on, when Paul himself was told what he needed to do after praying and being penitent for 3 days, he was obviously believing. He'd met the Lord face to face and was repentive, wouldn't eat or drink for 3 days. And so then Ananias came and told him, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." That's Acts 22 and verse 16. Well, as he commented on what actually that was, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, explains it. He gives details. He says, beginning with verse 3, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So therefore, that's what happened when he was immersed by Ananias. He was baptized into Christ Jesus." And then Galatians 3 and verse 27 says that when we're baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. Wow. One more verse just for good fashion is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. "And the like figure whereunto baptism doth all now also now save us. It's not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but it is an answer of a good conscience toward God. And that all is done by the resurrection of Christ Jesus." That's 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Quickly, the answer is John 3, 5, Mark 16, 16, Acts 2, 38 through 47, Acts 22, 16, Galatians 3, 27, Romans 6, verses 3 through 7, and 1 Peter 3, 21. Thank you so much for your question. We hope and pray that was helpful to you, and thank you for listening. Again, the number is 308-9564. Wow, it's time for us to take our next break. We want you to know while we are at break, you can continue with your questions, and we will be giving you book, chapter, and answer verses to the topic that you ask about. 308-9564 or text us at 725-9283. 9283. We'll be right back. Now, again, if you are interested in hosting a Let the Bible Speak in your home, we would be more than happy to make those arrangements. What you can do is you can invite your family and friends that live around your community and invite them into your home as the arrangements are made, and we will come with our Bibles, and we will answer all the questions that they may have. What better way to use a home than to let it be a light of eternity from heaven shining in your community and among your family? So go ahead and call that number to make those arrangements to host a Let the Bible Speak there in your home. It won't be on the radio, but it hopefully will be put into the hearts of everyone who attends. 553-5157 and say, I want to host a Let the Bible Speak in my home, or any place you want to arrange it. 553-5157. That is, we would be glad to make that happen. And again, understand, there will be no charge whatsoever. No charge. We would be thrilled to be able to do this so that God will be glorified and everyone who attends will be blessed as we find the answers in His Word. The number for that, to make those arrangements, call 553-5157. Now, we have about 25 minutes left for the radio program. If you have a question, call 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. If you'd rather just text us, you can do that as well at 725-9283. Or if you're on Facebook, look for Low Country Church and like it, and you will be able to ask your question through that page. So don't miss out on getting your question to us here and now on the radio program. Chuck, you have the next question?
Yeah, we have the texter sending in this text asking about Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 13. They want to know what Jesus is talking about. Well, when we go there, we see in verse 7, Christ is talking to the group of Pharisees here, and he tells them that, he says, how be it in vain you worship me? Oh, wait, Mark chapter 7. Yeah, Mark chapter 7, verse 9. He says, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. So what these Pharisees were doing is they would reject what the Old Testament, which was their law at the time, they would reject what the word actually said in order to keep a tradition that they were taking part in, a tradition that a man-made tradition, not a God tradition, a man-made tradition. So they were rejecting commandments of God that the word said in order, in favor of keeping their man-made traditions, which that would be putting your man-made traditions before God. And he gives them an example. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 17, it says that it says that whoever curses father or mother, they should be put to death. And so Jesus quotes that there in verse 10. And then he says that, but you say, if a man wants to give their gift to, if they take what they're supposed to be given to their father and the mother, and they give it to a gift to God as Corban, which is a gift to God. So basically they're putting their money in the offering instead of using it to help their mother or father that they really need to. Well, if they're not helping their mother and father, and their mother and father is in need, well, that's not honoring them. So in these Pharisees there, they were trying to be righteous in the sight of other people. And so that was their motivation. And so when we see here Christ using this as an example for them, is showing them that they're being displeasing in God's sight, even though they're giving money to God, but their mother and their father is in need of it. So that should have been their first desire. So you're supposed to honor your father and your mother, and whoever curses father and mother shall be put to death. So what Jesus is saying here, and when you guys don't give to your mother or father when they're in need and you give somewhere else, you're deserving of death. Christ is actually telling them, you all are deserving of death because of how they're dishonoring their father and their mother. And then he finishes it up in verse 13, talking about, you make the word of God of no effect to you through your tradition and many other such things as you do. So this was just one example that Christ gave. And there were more examples that he could have gave about these Pharisees doing things in the sight of people to seem righteous in the sight of people instead of actually doing right things in the sight of God and trying, having your motivation to be right in the sight of God and not in the sight of people. So these traditions of men, they were putting their traditions of men, the commandments and doctrines and teachings of men above what God's word actually commands you to live like. And so that's what Jesus is pointing out to the Pharisees. He's pointing out their hypocrisy, and he's telling them, hey, you're deserving your death because you're dishonoring your father and your mother based off of what God's word actually says about honoring father and mother. So hopefully that clears that up for you. Hopefully I didn't make that more confusing. If we did, call back and yell at me, and we'll try to explain it a different way. But hopefully that was helpful to you.
And if you want me to yell at him, I'll be glad to do that for you. So it's just, what we're trying to do is just stay out of God's way and just let him be heard. And sometimes it's difficult to do that. For example, my next question here is going to be seemingly a little bit more difficult. You may have a question. It's not too late. Go ahead and call your question in 308-9564. It'll be on the topic of your choice. We'll go to the Bible for the answer. 308-9564 is the voice line, or you can text us at 725-9283. Here's the question I was talking about. They want to know, how does one tell when the Bible is to be taken literally and what is to be taken figuratively? Okay. Let me see if I can make that pretty simple. For example, in Luke chapter 15, it says in verse 2, the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying to him, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Well, then it says, and he spoke a parable to them, saying. Well, so it explains itself when it says that this is a parallel story for them to make application to themselves. So that would be more of a story, a parable, a figurative situation that they were to apply to themselves. So that makes it easy. And then he followed it up with another one, beginning with verse 11. And so we can see there, he tells many times, these stories back to back to back. However, when you get to chapter 16 and chapter 16 and verse 19, he tells another story, but there does not seem to be a parallel application to it, then it nowhere does it say it is a parable. And it's the story of the rich man and Lazarus, starting with verse 19 through the end of the chapter. Well, there's nothing to suggest that that was not a real, true-to-life story that had taken place somewhere in the past that Jesus told to them. And so you just look and see if it is a parable, a parallel story, to be able to take it in that figurative sense. And then sometimes, for example, probably the most abused book in the Bible is the book of Revelation. And it says in verse 1 of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it. That word signified, S-I-G-N, that's the word sign. He signified it by his angel to his servant John. So obviously this book is going to be highly in signs and to be taken figuratively with these stories. It's more of a picture book than anything. These pictures are painted with words, and that's how they were to understand it. And the message of the book is always the same all the way through. We're going to win. So that's the message of the book of Revelation. So hopefully that's helpful to you. Just look at the context. Look at the beginning. Look at who, what, when, where, why, and how, and what context it fits in, and you'll be able to figure that out. Thank you so much for your question. You're to be commended for your desire to want to dig deeper into God's Word. And so I appreciate that very, very much. Thank you again. Again, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Chuck?
We have Jared calling in a couple of questions. I'll deal with the first one here. He says, can a mother over-pamper her male child to cause him to be feminine? Effeminate. So I can't necessarily say we have a straight book chapter and verse specifically dealing with this specific type of character trait or issue or anything, but I will lead you to Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 that simply says, the soul that sins shall die. The son won't bear the punishment of the father's sin, and the father won't bear the punishment of the son's sin. The righteous deeds of that righteous person will be attributed to him, while the wicked deeds of that wicked person will be charged against him. And so, Jared, I don't want to go too far on your question, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm going to assume that when you say cause him to be feminine, I'm going to assume that you mean homosexual, practicing the homosexual lifestyle. If I'm wrong about that, I apologize, and please call back and correct me if I'm wrong about that. But if when you're talking about going into a sinful lifestyle or taking part into sinful practices, we each have to make those decisions for ourselves. If we are of able mind and are cognitive enough to make decisions in reference to whether or not it's right in the sight of God, that is definitely on our own shoulders. And so a mother pampering her child, I'm not too sure. I mean, I don't have any kids, so I could be biased in this answer here. I'm trying not to. That's why I just try to stick to God's word, which is Ezekiel 18, verse 20.
And then there's a passage in the New Testament where it uses the word effeminate in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. And this list here mentions several things, and many of these things can be taught by the parents. It says, beginning right in the middle, where it says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. It says, such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So that behavior can be taught. It doesn't make them to have to be that way. That is something that can be taught. It is a behavior that can be taught and repented of. How do we know that? Well, we just read it right there in God's Word. But such were some of you. That's 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, and the whole passage is verses 9 through 11. So hopefully that will be helpful to you. Again, it's time for us to take our last break, ladies and gentlemen. We want you to continue with your questions. I think we're caught up. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're caught up on our questions. So your question will be the next one. So go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, that is the voice line, or you can text us at 725-9283. Don't miss out on getting your question in right now. We also want you to be mindful of, if you've tuned in late, that there's a third way to communicate through Facebook, by going to Facebook, searching for Low Country Church, and then you are able to join us. You can be able to communicate through the Facebook messaging as well. So now you can call right now, 308-9564, and we'll be right back. Please don't miss out on getting that course to you, 553-5157. You will be able to, it'll help you so very much. You see, the God of this world, the devil, He's been very busy at putting blinders on people's eyes so that they cannot see the whole truth. So let's remove those blinders by looking deeply into God's Word and seeing what He expects of us. Go ahead and call and get this course to you, 553-5157. And you know, what kind of blessing will you receive? Well, the blessing of faith. because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let God's faith be put into your heart to make a wonderful treasure and a promising hope for eternity. Go ahead and get it to you, 553-5157. Leave your name and address, and we will send it in the mail to you. There's no strings attached. We're just happy to serve. 553-5157. Put away your money. Do not send us your tithes, your money, your offerings. We want to send you the jewels, the treasures that are contained in God's Word. One more time, 553-5157. If you have a question, continue with them. Send them in. We will look to the Bible for the answers as we let the Bible speak. Chuck?
Yeah, we have Jared calling in. This other question is asking, what happens to the members of a church that follows the many doctrines of churches? And by that, I'm going to hopefully safely assume that when you talk about that follows many doctrines of churches, there's only one doctrine that a church should be teaching, Jared. That one doctrine is what we call the Bible. The word Bible just means book. It is it's the word of God from God to man to help us to learn and understand. And so when we add, not we, but when other religious organizations and groups add a specific another doctrine or another group of books or teachings to, when they add that to God's word and they're teaching stuff from outside of their book along with God's word, that's where you get into trouble. And so what happens to those people? Well, that's called falling away. And there are many verses that talk about that in the New Testament. Just going to shout out a few. There's Galatians 5:4 that talks about you're falling away from grace. There's Hebrews 6:6. It talks about people falling away. There's examples of Paul talking about people who have fallen away. He calls some by name in the letters of Timothy that Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus. He calls people by name. He talks about Hymenaeus and Alexander who have fallen away. He talks about Demas who has fallen away. So there are many people that fell away, and Paul he called them by name. And we also see there's a couple of verses that I mentioned that talked about falling away. And so, you know, for people who follow in doctrines other than what God's word teaches, that is that's called falling away. John 16:1, Jesus talks about I've told you these things that keep you from falling away. In Acts 20:28, there's actually Paul, the Holy Spirit was writing through Paul to a group of elders in the church of Ephesus. And he says that these elders, these overseers of the church, they will cause people to fall away or to draw disciples after themselves. And so that is a very kind of scary example about that. And He mentions that once again. That was Acts 20:28. And so there are many verses, like I said, I called out. There's Galatians 5:4. There's Acts 20:28. There is Hebrews 6:6. There's 2 Peter 3:17, and many others. And so we warn people of that. And once again, and then also to add on, there's Matthew 15:7-10, where Jesus talks about those who follow the doctrines of men, the commandments of men. And he was talking to the Pharisees there. He actually called them hypocrites. And so that is a very, very dangerous thing. And so we warn you about that. God admonishes you and warns you about that. If you want any more clarification on that, let us know. 308-9564. We've got a couple minutes left. We can try to get your question in.
And we've got three questions on deck here. The first one is it okay for a Christian to attend a Halloween party? Well, the Bible does not mention Halloween. It does mention fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Well, if it's not unfruitful, if it's not darkness, if it's not wicked, then you have to make that judgment on your own. Philippians 4:8 tells us what we're supposed to be thinking about, whatsoever things are true and honest and pure and lovely and just and brute and praiseworthy, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise. And so that's what we're supposed to be thinking about. And then 2 John verses 10 and 11, it brings out if someone comes to your house and does not bring the truth or bringing something that false, it says, do not let them in your house, neither bid them Godspeed, for he that bids him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Carol, thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it very much. You want to do the next question?
Yeah, Joe calls in. This question says, what was the sin of eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That's in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. The sin was disobedience of God. You know, God said not to, and so they disobeyed that. And so as we understand, anything when God says to do it and we do it, or God says don't do it and we don't do it, that is obeying God. And so if we do the opposite, that's disobeying God. And so disobedience looks various in different ways, but at the end of the day, God expects obedience. And if we do the opposite of what he says, that's disobedience and a sin.
And that's what makes it sin, because going against God is a sin. And so we do not have the ability nor the right to edit what God says or to disobey him without consequences. There will always be consequences. We have Kenya calling in this question. How do you get over being taught a different doctrine than finding out the truth? How do you handle it? Well, the verse I used earlier, Ephesians 5 and verse 11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So I cannot be participating with them in those false things that are taught. Matter of fact, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him as called you into the grace of Christ and to a different gospel. And so it removed them from their relationship with Christ when they followed after that different doctrine. So how do you handle it? Well, you've got to reprove them, point out what God's word says, and they're going to handle it. They're the ones that are going to be ended up many times violently handling you and thus try to intimidate you because of their not wanting light to be exposing their darkness. And so then 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with gentleness and respect, or meekness and fear. We've got to answer those things with politeness, with gentleness, with respect. And Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly with you in all wisdom. Oh, I messed that verse up. It says, Colossians 4 and verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So that's some verses along that line that will help you. Colossians 4, 6, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, and Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Thank you, Kenya. That is so thoughtful of you that you have a desire to help those that are teaching wrong. But remember, you cannot participate in that without being found guilty yourself. Also read 2 John, the letter, 2 John verses 9 through 11, and that will help you as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have been busy today with all your questions, and we are so thankful that you have such a desire to know the truth and to want to learn what God's word says. And thank you so very much. You are to be commended. And if you have never received the Bible Correspondence Course, be sure you get that in the mail to you. All you have to do is call 553-5157. And all it does is just direct you to the Bible for all the answers. And so get that in the mail to you by calling 553-5157. It is free, absolutely free. We will never ask for any donation in any form or fashion. So go ahead and call that number and get it in the mail to you. If you desire to host a Let the Bible Speak in your home or community, you can also ask for that, and we'll be glad to assist you that way. If you want a personal Bible study, then you can also ask for that, and we will make those arrangements. Just say, please call me for a study. when you leave your message, and we will do that. Again, 553-5157. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your desire, your hunger and thirst after righteousness. Thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that your life will be dominated by letting the Bible speak.